Romans 12:2, the Bible says, "Don't conform yourself to the values of this world. Instead, let God transform you by a complete change of how you think. Then you'll be able to know the will of God." You got two choices in life. You'll be conformed or you'll be transformed. You'll be conformed to the world. You're like everybody else in the world, or you're transformed by God. You're conformed by the world, or you're transformed by the Word.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. As we continue in this series called Unshakable, which is based on the life of Daniel, you'll discover how to live for God no matter what comes your way. If you'd like to have the amazing Unshakable study kit, which contains 8 video sessions and a workbook, it's available right now by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word daily to 800-600-5004. Just ask for the Unshakable DVD study kit when you contact us. Here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called When You're Pressured to Conform.
Today, we begin with the tests of Daniel. From Daniel's model of life at every stage, whether he's a teenager and then midlife and then even in retirement, there's something for everybody in this story. And he goes through a number of tests. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs 17, verse 3, fire tests the purity of silver and gold, but the Lord tests the heart. Now, I want to give you a life principle. Write this down. Before every blessing, there's always a testing. The Lord tests the heart. He tests your heart. Before every blessing, there's always a testing. If you're going to be blessed by God, you're going to be tested by God. If you're going to be used by God, he's going to test you first. He wants to be sure you're ready to handle the power, the blessing, the influence, whatever he wants to give you. And he wants to make sure you can handle it. What does God test when he tests you? He tests your character, integrity, humility, generosity, loyalty, faithfulness, truthfulness. He tests your character. And if you pass the tests of God, you get promoted. And if you get promoted, you get more power, more influence. And actually, God tells you things that he won't tell anybody else if you pass the test. This is why Paul was taught so much and actually wrote so much of the Bible, because God spoke to him more than he speaks to you or me. Why? Well, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we speak God's message because God tested us and trusted us to do it. When we speak, we're not trying to please people. He said, I'm not conforming to anybody, but God, we're trying to please God who tests our hearts. Now circle God tested and God trusted. Tested us and trusted us. Daniel's character in this story we're going to look at in the weeks ahead is tested many, many times. And each time he passed the test, God gives him more influence, more power, and here's important, more insight. He tells him stuff he wouldn't tell anybody else. In fact, Daniel is the only guy in history besides John the Apostle who wrote the book of Revelation. John and Daniel are the only two guys in history that God told how the world's going to end. He told them how history's going to happen. And he gives Daniel these visions, and they're actually in this book. And Daniel predicted all kinds of things in history long before they ever happened, like the Roman Empire and the Greek Empire and so many other things. And actually, God showed him how the world is going to end. It's in this book. And why did God show that to Daniel? Because he had tested him, he passed the test, and so he trusted him. Now, let me give you another life principle. Write this down. God tests us with stress before he trusts us with success. God tests us with stress before he trusts us with success. Now, Daniel is tested many, many times, and every time, as I said, he passed, he gets promoted. And we're going to see this in the weeks ahead. Now, each of the messages in this series, we're going to look at a different test that you're going to go through in life. You may as well know them. God tells you in advance what the test will be in your life. Last week, we looked at the first test, which is when you go through major change. You will go through major change many times in your life. This is a test. And in it, we talked last week about the five things God wants to do in your life, the five things you need to learn when you're going through major change. If you missed that message, you need to go listen to it online, because you need to know how to handle major change in your life. You need to go listen to that part one online. Today, we're going to look at a different kind of test, not major change, but the test of social pressure. And what I'm talking about there is when you are pressured to conform to something you know is not right, by your boss, by the government, by any authority in your life, and you feel pressured by the peer pressure of others to do something, you know, this isn't right, this is what I want to do, it doesn't fit me, it's violating my conscience. How do you do that? Now, this King Nebuchadnezzar, this Babylonian king, after he takes all 25% of Israel hostage and takes them to Babylon, moves them there, he then says, okay, pick out the smartest, brightest, best-looking, most gifted teenagers in the whole bunch and bring them to the palace. And he gets a bunch of these young Hebrew boys, these Jewish boys, and Daniel happens to be one that's picked. He's 15 years old. And King Nebuchadnezzar says, okay, we're going to go through a 3-year indoctrination program. We're going to wipe out your memory of Israel. You don't need the Bible anymore. You don't need God anymore. We're going to secularize you. We're going to enculturize you. We're going to brainwash you, really, is what he's doing. And we're going to be, you're going to be trained for 3 years, and then you're going to serve in my court. You're going to serve in the royal palace. And some of you are going to get promoted to even higher positions. And so they teach him a new language. They teach him a new culture. They teach him new habits. They give them a new religion. They even give them new names. I covered this last week, but I want to look at it again. Look up here on the screen. Daniel had 3 friends, and it says the boys were all given new Babylonian names. Daniel was renamed Belteshazzar. Hananiah was renamed Shadrach. Mishael was renamed Meshach, and Azariah was named Abednego. Now, what does this mean? What's going on here? Why are they getting new names? Because all of their Hebrew names refer to God, the true God in Hebrew. And so they're all renamed after pagan gods. For instance, Daniel in Hebrew means God is my judge. That's what Daniel means. God is my judge. He's renamed Belteshazzar, which means Baal protects me. Baal was a pagan, phony, fake god of Babylon. And then Hananiah, his name in Hebrew means God is gracious. And he is renamed Shadrach. That's the moon god. Okay, that's the moon god of Babylon. Mishael, whose name means in Hebrew, who's like God? In other words, nobody's as great as he is. Who can compare to God? Who is like God is renamed Meshach, who's a fertility god in Babylon. And Azariah, whose name means in Hebrew, God has helped me, is renamed Abednego, which means servant of Nebo, who is another pagan god. Now, not only do they give them new names, new identities, new jobs, new clothes, they said, you're getting a whole new diet. You don't get to eat your Jewish food anymore. And so you're only going to be allowed to eat Babylonian food. You're going to eat what the king eats. This is a total reprogramming, a total assimilation process. And that's where we pick up the story today. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 5, so then the king ordered that the young men in his program should eat the same food and wine served at the king's table while they're being trained during this 3-year period. Now, after that, they were to become servants of the king of Babylon. But, here's the big but, Daniel resolved not to defile himself by eating the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official, that's the chief of staff in the palace, for permission to not defile himself this way. Now, what's going on here? Well, anybody who's, if you've been in a serious athletic team, a college team or a pro sports team, if you're an Olympic athlete, you know what a training table is. That when you're in training, you don't get to eat whatever you want to eat. The coach tells you what you're going to eat. It's called a training table. And Nehemiah goes, okay, we're not only going to change this, we're going to change their diet. They're going to eat what I eat and spare no expense. They get all the king's food. This sounds like a good thing. But Daniel refused to go along with the program. He says, I'm not going to defile myself. Now, what does the word defile mean? Defile is an old English word that means to corrupt. It means to pollute. It means to contaminate. It means a loss of purity. If you go down to the beach and you're at Laguna Beach and you have a party, and when you leave a bunch of junk and trash and cans on the beach, you have defiled the beach. You've polluted it. It was nice, and now it's not nice because you left a bunch of junk there. If you pour chemicals or toxic waste or sewage in a river, you have defiled that river. You've corrupted, you've polluted it. If I were to say to my wife, "Okay, honey, let me run a bath for you," and I run a bathtub of water and I put in some bubble bath and light some candles, and right before she gets in, I toss in a can of garbage. I just polluted that bath. I just defiled the bath. It's not pure anymore. Now, he says, "I'm not gonna defile myself." So what's wrong with eating Babylonian food? I mean, what's the big deal? Why did Daniel, he's 15 years old, take on the most powerful man in the world, say, "Sorry, your food's not good enough. I'm not gonna eat it," okay? I'm not gonna eat it. What's going on here? There were three reasons Daniel refuses to conform here in this situation. First is literally a health reason. The king's food wasn't really good food. It was kind of junk food. It was heavy on sauces and a lot of sugar, and it wasn't really healthy food in the first place. And so there's a physical reason. By the way, this text right here is why we have the Daniel plan. Okay, the Daniel plan comes from this story. When Daniel goes, "Oh, I'm not going to eat the junk food." Now, the Daniel plan is not a diet. It's about total health. It's about five areas of health, not just food. It involves faith, what you believe. Affects how healthy you are. Focus, how you think, that affects how healthy you are. Fellowship, friends, that your relationships affect how healthy you are. Fitness and food. So it's far more than a diet. By the way, this last year, Daniel Plan was named Christian Book of the Year in America, okay? By all the bookstores, Christian Book of the Year. Now, I'm not covering that this week. If you want to study it, you can get the book. You can read about it in your program. Today, there is a flyer. If you would like to get healthy, we could help you get healthy. Millions of people have been doing the Daniel plan in lots and lots of different churches, which, by the way, is kind of interesting to me. I'm sure that Daniel, when he's 15 years old and he says no to the king of Nebuchadnezzar, had no idea that 2,600 years later, millions of Americans would be using his plan. Okay, and I would say, let's get healthy. Let's make good choices. Which, by the way, this is not the sermon, but here's a little point. You never know how a small decision you make is going to influence future generations. You don't know. You don't know how a simple choice that a 15-year-old made then, it actually influenced millions of people later on. Now, so there's a health reason. He goes, "Nah, I'm not going to eat it." There's a cultural reason too, a national reason. You see, God in the Bible gave the Jews, the nation of Israel, very strict dietary laws. Today we call them kosher laws. And God did this because he said, "I want you to never forget that you are unique from everybody else. You don't get to eat like the rest of the world eats." Now, it wasn't because God thought the Jews were better. It's just God says, "I have chosen the nation of Israel to give us the Ten Commandments, to give us the Bible, to give us the Messiah, the Son of God, Jesus." And he said, I chose this nation above all. They're not better, but I chose them to be the conduit on which I'm gonna do. And you're to never forget that you're unique. And so you're gonna eat different than everybody else eats. They're called the kosher laws. And so to define Daniel goes, "Wait a minute, I'm supposed to eat this way. I'm a Jew." And there was a cultural and a national and a religious reason. But I know that Daniel is not just rejecting this for what else is said in the Bible. Let me show you two other verses. Look at this verse. Here's what Paul says. False teachers will order people to abstain from certain kind of foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving. For everything God created is good. And nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. So God says, if I made it, you can eat it. Does that make sense? God says, I didn't make any junk food. God says, if I made this food, you can eat it. Now, he didn't say you can eat man-made food. A Twinkie is not made by God. okay? And if you could, if you read a label and it's got 50 chemicals on it that you can't read, you probably shouldn't eat it. So if God made it, like we say, if it grows on a plant, good. If it's made in a plant, probably not good, okay? And so God's saying anything that I made is okay. So there's no off-limit meat or anything. God says it's all good. Now, even more important than what Paul said is what Jesus said. Look at this verse. Jesus said in Matthew 15:11, you're not defiled by what you eat. You are defiled by what you say and do. Does that make sense? Okay, so what he's saying, it's not what goes in your mouth that defiles you, it's what comes out of your mouth that defiles you. Jesus said that. He said, it's not what you eat that makes you unclean. He goes, it's all from God, you can eat it all. But he said, it's what comes out of your mouth, those vile words which come out of your heart and your bad attitude. He said, that's what's wrong. So what's going on here? Why is Daniel rejecting this? Well, health, national culture, but there's a real third reason, and this is the big one. And it was a spiritual attack on Daniel's identity. This is another attempt to reprogram him, to get him to forget God, to forget the values that he was taught as a kid. They want these boys to forget their spiritual heritage. So they're changing everything, including their names and their diet. We are going to reprogram you. We're going to secularize you. You're not going to be spiritual Jews anymore. You're going to be secular Babylonians. Now, this is the first test that Daniel has. And in this first test, he shows four character qualities. This is so important to you because if you want God's blessing on your life, you got to build these four character qualities in you. If you want to be promoted in your life and you're in a hostile situation where not everybody agrees with what you believe, here's Daniel getting promoted and promoted and promoted and promoted for his entire life. He's one success story after another, in spite of the fact that nobody in that nation agreed with his beliefs, with his faith. There are four qualities that God loves to bless in people's lives. And when he sees these in your life, get ready for a blessing and a promotion. What do we see in Daniel's life from this story? Number one, this first test, the food test, reveals Daniel's integrity. And what I mean by that is that he never forgot who he was. He said, you can change my address. I live in Babylon. You can change my clothing. You can change my name, but you're not going to change my heart. Daniel resolved not to defile himself. I'm not going to be conformed to the society's values in this society. Romans 12:2, the Bible says, don't conform yourself to the values of this world. Instead, let God transform you by a complete change of how you think. Then you'll be able to know the will of God. You got two choices in life. You'll be conformed or you'll be transformed. You'll be conformed to the world. You're like everybody else in the world. You look the same, smell the same, talk the same. You're conformed to the world or you're transformed by God. You're conformed by the world or you're transformed by the word. And if you are transformed by the word, then it says, then you're gonna know the will of God. I talk to people and say, I don't know what God wants me to do with my life. I don't know. I can't figure it out. I don't know what is God's will for my life. It's because you're conformed to the world. You're more interested in being like everybody else than you are interested in being unique and being who God made you to be. And as long as you're worried about conforming, look the same, talk the same, act the same, speak the same, be cool, have everybody else like you, as long as you're worried about conforming, you're never going to be worried about transforming, and then you're not going to know the will of God. But if you go, okay, I don't really care what other people think, I want God's best for my life, you're going to be transformed, and then you're going to know the will of God.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. If you'd like a copy of today's message or the whole series, just go to PastorRick.com. And while you're there, go ahead and sign up for Pastor Rick's free daily email devotional and be sure to check out all the other great resources available to you. As we look at the unprecedented things going on in our world today, it's clear that we need to be equipped with the resources to handle whatever life throws at us. That's why Pastor Rick has asked his team to make available to you a DVD study kit called Unshakable, which is based on the life of Daniel. In these 8 powerful video sessions, Rick teaches you how to handle life's most unexpected circumstances and extreme pressures, how to avoid compromising on what you believe is right in God's eyes, how to handle success, how to learn from your mistakes, and how to pray the kind of prayers that God answers. This study is perfect for your individual quiet time or in a small group setting. To get your copy of the Unshakable DVD Study Kit, just go to PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. And now here's Rick with a closing thought.
Here's a testimony that was sent in from a woman named Marcia. She says, "Hi, Rick. What a blessing this radio show is. I am a survivor of the great white wave of mental illness." Well, Marcia, I understand that, and God is with you. Thanks for sharing that with me. She says, "Every day, first thing in the morning, I listen to Daily Hope. And I've texted your messages to so many people when the message of hope truly hits home for me. I praise the Lord for all your team. Don't ever stop. And I'm especially proud of what you and Kay are doing for mental illness. With love and praise, Marcia." Well, thanks for writing, Marcia. You know, one of our goals is to take the pain and the hurt we've had experienced in our own family and use it to help others. It's not a sin to be sick. Remember, your illness is not your identity. Your chemistry is not your character. God loves you. You can have a tender heart and a tortured mind at the same time. God is with you. And thank you for writing. And by the way, thanks to all the rest of you who write to me. And if you get a chance, jot me a note of what's going on in your life this week. God bless you.
Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.